Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
At the end of 2014, a document of significant importance to migratory species was signed in Ecuador. Unless you happen to have an interest in migratory species, you might not have been aware of it. I know I wasn't until I read about it. At that time, the UN held a convention of migratory species, and during that convention, a resolution was passed recognizing that some social animals have culture. Many biologists and probably many other people who just have a general interest in animals and pay attention to their behavior probably thought, well, it's about time. Like so many other issues related to the welfare of wild animals, this wasn't passed until it became apparent that culture had to be taken into account to address the problem of increasing numbers of endangered and threatened species thanks to climate change. Specifically, what does this mean? What it means is that saving endangered species is more than a numbers game. You can't just calculate that we have X number of animals and that in order to provide genetic diversity that would ensure survival of the species, we must save Y of them. As scientists have learned more and more about animal cultures and social learning, they realize that you can't just take any number of animals in a particular species and guarantee that these will result in a viable, sustainable population. Animals who live in social groups are a lot like humans. Some get along with some of their conspecifics better than others. They have different social structures. And who has the most clout in a particular group depends. There's compelling evidence that certain groups of African elephants depend on the matriarchal female for learning, for social support, and for their sense of well-being. If you take her out, the fact that you might be left with much more physically fit and reproductively fit younger animals does not guarantee the survival of that group. Quite the contrary. Without that matriarchal female, the whole group could just fall apart. Or consider some species of orcas. They're quite conservative. If they're faced with a diminishing food supply, it takes a certain number of them to encourage them to change. They need the guidance of their own kind to do this. Implicit in culture is social learning, the passing on of information from one generation to another. This is hard for some people to swallow. They carry around a concrete list of those abilities they have defined as uniquely human, the abilities that make humans special. This idea of animals having culture, this idea of animals learning from each other rather than being totally dependent on members of the human species to teach them or train them. We don't even call it teaching, do we? We demote it to training to ensure that it communicates a message of our control. To those who adhere to such a belief structure, the idea of culture, the idea of social learning, the idea of approaching endangered or threatened species as anything other than a numbers game appalls them. It makes them feel uncomfortable. They don't want to think about it. They think they've done their part if they say, yes, species A, B, and C are all endangered, I've looked at the reports, I've run the numbers. What we need to do is to save 10,000 of these, 20,000 of these, 35,000 of those. Go out and do it. It's not that simple. Life is complicated, especially social life. Just like humans, animals don't like all other animals. They don't live in an all-positive world, much as they might strive for it. But now, at least, the members of the UN Convention on Migratory Species were willing to put their names and the support of their countries behind a treaty that acknowledged the reality and the importance of animal culture and social learning.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.